Today is September 11th, 2017.
December.
Well, that's right, December. And it's another series in the series that we have of recording some memories from different people that have connections with the West Dubuque School District in one way or another. Today we're visiting with Gladys Simon Ressler. And you're from Farley, right?
Yep.
Resident of Farley. Wondering if you could take us back, Gladys, maybe when you were just started in the school, did you start in the West Dubuque system?
Oh yeah, there were 10 of us, 10 wrestlers, so we've all went through the system. I think my sister was the second class to graduate, my oldest sister. So there are four girls going through the school when I was a freshman, and we were involved in a lot of the music things because we had a music background.
So you had a connection with Phil Schmitz?
Phil Schmitz. My sister played first chair clarinet, the oldest, and she was the only one that we could afford an instrument for. Because there were 10 of us all together, so if we wanted a guitar or something, we shared that. If it was a saxophone, the clarinet, which is still passed down, it's an old wood clarinet, and it goes through grandchildren now, even great-grandchildren. But Phil Schmitz, Terry Barshaw was the choral director.
Okay.
And then I remember trying out for a play, and my sisters talked me into trying out, and then I got a lead. So that got me involved in the theater program with Dick Phillips, Terry Barshaw. They put on a lot of good musicals, and Phil Schmitz did all the music, the orchestra pit. It was all done in the gymnasium, which we shared with every sport at that.
Everything.
And they still use that old gym. They had the, I think, the JV wrestling in it Saturday. For that tournament, but
we just went to the show choir thing last night
in the new auditorium.
At the new auditorium, and every time I go in there, I just think, oh my goodness, to have something like that when you guys were going and I was involved. And
yeah, that would have been nice. I can remember I directed a few plays there after I graduated and came back. Had to share that with even. The town volleyball team used the gymnasium, so we were, it wasn't ideal, that little stage, but it served a great purpose. A lot of great performers came through there, but yeah, the auditorium, I would have loved that.
Yeah,
I don't direct plays there anymore, but I hope they're putting on some good stuff with that facility.
What were some of the ones that you were involved with, remember?
Well, I was in plays. I was in South Pacific, Oklahoma, Music Man, I can't remember some of them. Those were the musicals, and I was in a lot of any kind of play. And then I directed things like Little Abner, and I directed Oklahoma. Then I left this district, went up to Holy Cross, and then came back. But
what year was that? Do you remember?
Probably 98, maybe. Anyway, and then I was also a speech, did a lot of things with the speech program. Took kids to state and all state even with performances. See, I went back to college a couple times. I went to Clark, so I thought I had a promise of maybe getting hired as an art or drama speech communication teacher, because I was always a coach, but it never came to fruition, so I did stay involved with speech a little bit, wherever I could do plays and stuff. But
what year did you graduate from West Dubuque?
I graduated in 93. At the first year, they let you graduate early. I had enough credits. It was in December, so I really would have been 73. It would have really been 74.
Okay.
But I had a weekend off, and I went right to Clark College then, so 74 would have been my graduating class. We just had our 40-year class reunion. What was it? Maybe 2 years ago, I guess. That's really aging myself. But I have 7 kids that all came through West Dubuque, 9 brothers and sisters, so there was always somebody, a wrestler or a relative or somebody in some class that graduated. And I still have a kid. He's a junior this year.
Okay.
My tail ender.
Awesome.
What was interesting with my whole family was we were all involved in music. Very little sports. My brother Randy, who passed away, that became a dentist, when he graduated, He was the second time they had football. He was a quarterback, and he was with Ray Volk.
In the mid-70s.
I think my class was the actual first football team, but they got a little party happy. And so they all got knocked off, so all the underclassmen got to be the varsity. And Randy was a quarterback, and he only lasted maybe two games, and he didn't want to get hurt. It was new to football. Ray Volk, his best friend that was in a band with him, he was also involved in music, broke his leg first game. And Randy said, I'm not going to be in this anymore. But I watched the sports programs grow. I have three kids that were so involved in sports. I have the first four were all music, drama, speech, that kind of thing. Cross country, maybe a little tennis. And I've watched all these programs grow and grow and grow, and that football field and now the tennis courts.
Yeah.
It's just been an incredible journey for all the things we needed back when I was young. They have them now, and I hope they take them. Use them well.
Don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
Because you remember what they were like back in the...
And other schools had all those things, like Hempstead, and some of the senior, they had auditoriums. Wallard had an auditorium and all kinds of other facilities. But I think West Dubuque has outgrown some of those schools even.
It's amazing what's happening. Because I live over by Piasta, and I just... I'm dumbfounded. All of a sudden, there's another subdivision that's opening up, and another one is starting right now, which I didn't realize, off of Cox Springs Road. And I thought, what's going on there? And but you're right, because West Dubuque just voted within the last year to join the Mississippi Valley Conference, which is the biggest conference in the state of Iowa, enrollment-wise. So things have changed a lot, and you've seen a lot, and I've seen a lot over the course of the years, and it's great to see.
Yeah.
So, how about some other memories of West Dubuque as a student or sponsor that ring a bell with you?
Well, my greatest memories, there are some great teachers. There's still a couple left. Yeah. A lot of them, let's see, who's the wrestling guy?
Tom Kilberg.
No, Tom Kilberg's not in the district anymore, is he?
No, he was, but he...
But the one that's still there with the wrestling group.
Danner.
Tom Danner. I remember my first year, some of those young teachers, they had just got out of college and came to West Dubuque, I think. Tom Danner, probably Kilberg, too, and Hein?
Carl Hein.
I wasn't much for math, but my sisters and brothers were all math geniuses. My sister was known as the Queen of Calculus. She was taking extra courses over at Divine Word College, which was a good asset for Western Dubuque.
Right.
And I just knew Algebra, too. I just wasn't making it, and he was kind of bawling me out for... What's wrong with you? All your brothers and sisters acted as if I wasn't studying, but I was probably over-involved in some things, and that took a toll on my academics, but I managed to get through college pretty good. Some of the greatest memories are probably traveling with the West Dubuque Choir on trips to Chicago and...
And some of those kids, probably the first time that they ever went across the Mississippi River.
Including me. We never went anywhere, so going on a trip to Peoria, Illinois or something was like going to some big, huge city. So now kids have greater opportunities. I know they go all over the place for sports events. And
last night, like I said, we were at the concert. And the show choir did their first public performance. Well, on the program, it listed the appearances they're going to make throughout the year. Well, at the end, they're going to take a trip to Detroit and Toronto.
Wow.
Which is pretty ambitious. I thought that's pretty ambitious. Because there's like 70-some kids in that show choir, so...
That is ambitious. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, a bunch of us went to Chicago with, can't think of her name, she directed a play. She was an ex-nun. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm trying to, Lois Tyson.
Lois It was Tyson.
Yeah.
There was probably 10 of us. Well, I probably took $20 with me. But we got to stay at a convent that she had been part of years prior, and she took us to shows in Chicago. That was the biggest thing I had ever been to, was going to some. And that's probably what gave me a taste of, oh, wow, I could maybe do this someday, which I never have because I had 7 kids. But but that was my goal, was to be on those stages in Chicago at the Studebaker Theater. And we went to Godspell and a few plays like that. So okay. There were some big highlights, good opportunities. And I think today kids have so many opportunities, they just got to grab them in this school district.
Yeah,
I know my daughter Rose, that wanted to play basketball so bad, drug me all over to Minneapolis and whatever to go to these off teams in the summer,
right,
so she could get better and better and better. So,
well, you know, I watched her progress when I would go to the games, and I was so impressed to see how hard she worked and how much she improved. What a great story! I mean, she's achieved her goal.
Right, and maintained her A average all through.
Right.
All through her, all my kids did good academically, pretty good. So.
Awesome. How about band trips? Did you go on any band trips or?
I didn't, because I wasn't in band.
Okay.
Karen did. She got to go to the Indianapolis 500 with Phil Schmidt's band. At the highlight of his career, they were the top band in the area.
Well,
and down there too.
Yeah.
So that was a big trip for her.
Phil Schmitz was the person that put West Dubuque on the map, publicity wise, and put them out there so people know what was going on in this district. He put that program together from nothing.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege of going along on some of those band trips to Washington, D.C., and we went to Atlanta. We went
Florida?
Florida.
Daughter Jackie got to go to Florida on a band trip many years later.
We went to the Cotton Bowl in Dallas 1 year. Got caught in an ice storm down there. I'll never forget that.
In Dallas?
In Dallas. And that was, but those kids, you talk to them years later, maybe you run into them, and those are some of the things that they remember about the great experiences they had with the band,
mm-hmm.
show choir, or my daughter was in show choir. And
I had a daughter in show choir too, that was big stuff.
Well, yeah.
And we were very good those years that she was there, I remember. They would go to Cedar Rapids or whatever. We competed right along.
Jefferson's the big show choir venue back in the 90s, I remember. And that was what they always aspired to, was to dance with the big groups.
In the late 90s, I think that would be, because I think Jackie graduated in 2000 or something.
Okay.
And I remember West Dubuque put one on. You know, the parents always
put a couple on, yeah.
And they were magnificent. I was amazed at how well that was put together. A lot of Booster Club parent help.
Oh my!
In so many events here.
Yeah.
Great Booster Club.
Yeah.
So, very supportive. That's what it takes to get the district going.
Exactly.
And people love their principal, Buckman and Knutson, and you know, and you as vice principal.
We had
our moments. Yeah,
a lot of fun, a lot of memories.
Remember those students that I went to get preparations ready for a play? Todd Oldham and
I remember Todd.
And his dad was a State Farm insurance agent, still is.
Baumhover.
Brandon Baumhover. They were in a play I was directing. They thought they would rehearse in the middle of the day, so there was no space for anything then. There's a lot of great additions put on since, so we were going to practice in the hallway, and they were by the office, and I was coming in, and they asked me if I could Do you remember this situation? Could we rehearse with her? And you said, oh, I don't see any problem. You could just take that space over there in the hallway. There's no class going on. So we're rehearsing, and pretty soon the name comes over the intercom. They were supposed to be in math class, which we never checked to find out. They skipped class to rehearse for this play, but they were a couple goof-offs. I hope they're doing well in life.
I don't know where Todd is.
I think he should have been big time.
Yeah,
he was
talent.
Such a talent. Him and Brennan.
The Baumhovers.
Both athletics
so much
and...
unbelievable talent.
Yeah.
In all areas.
Exactly.
Absolutely no discipline. No discipline.
We used to tell Brennan he was late for rehearsal a half an hour every time. He was always a half an hour late. And he knew when rehearsals were. So when the whole cast was there for some play, it was the Taming of the Shrew, I said, okay, we're going to tell Brennan that it's really at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So then he ended up coming on time. But the whole cast knew that it was really a different time, so that he just always came a half an hour late. There were some fun students, some great families, like you said, the Baumhovers.
Well,
and they still are today. There's a Baumhover that was a... Did he just graduate? He's graduating this year.
Seth is, I think, a senior, maybe.
Is his name Seth?
I
is the quarterback
Seth, yeah.
for the football
That's
team?
Which one? Chris's son.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to remember that this is... I think Brennan was a senior. They took a vocal music trip to the Twin Cities. And I guess partly what happened was Brennan and some of the guys had taken along some beer, of course, for the trip. And the teacher called us, Harold and I, and said what happened. And so they sent Brennan home on the bus by himself and continued the trip. And we had to go tell Mary, the mom, that Brennan was coming home separately. So that was Brennan, but boy.
Very talented, great singer.
Yeah, just a wealth of ability. I mean, pretty amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of families like that. There were a lot of big families, that's why. I mean, they support each other. We grew up with just a piano, no TV. When I was little on the farm, we lived in Worthington. Before we moved to the big city of Epworth, it was an eye-opener for all of us. I didn't like leaving the farm because it was just us. But when we did, there were a lot of opportunities opened up with the school.
It was, and I grew up the same way. My dad was a tenant farmer. We moved from farm to farm and that sort of thing, so...
But look at the kids today. They all got an iPhone. They're in the schools with it. And I'm like, how do we, you know, if there was an emergency on the road, what do we do? You know, you had to find a payphone or you had to go have somebody give you a ride to get some help. And today they all got the cell phone and all the technology. I can't keep up with it.
Well,
if I need help, I have to call my kids. How do I do this on the computer?
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is that I marvel at is... I still have a 2-year-old grandson down in Florida, and so we go down and see him. And of course, if you are going to go someplace, the parents are working, you have to have the car seat properly installed.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, well, now we just threw our kids in the car.
We did too. Yes, they would be jumping around in the back seat. You know.
Sit down.
Things have really changed. Everything's higher speed.
It's just, and I think that the pace of life back then was so much slower than it is today. And the other thing is that I reflect on is the opportunities that our kids have to do things.
Amazing opportunities.
The
sky's the limit.
We never had. I have an 11-year-old grandson in the Chicago area, and his parents have him into hockey, and he also likes baseball. Well, those kids get all kinds of instruction in how to perform that what they're in. I mean, back then, we never had any idea of how somebody would teach us how to play baseball or football or whatever. So you had a lot of, you have a lot of musical background, right?
A lot of musical background, yeah. Well, we all grew up. We still have a, it's called the Wrestler Family Band. We still perform here and there.
So do you perform with different groups? Or?
I'm in a band called Gladia the Soulmates, and now I'm in a bluegrass band called the Alumatics. We're playing Friday. But yeah, I stay, and then I run an open mic every Wednesday in downtown Dubuque. And that is, has become such a big thing. We usually have about 20 or 30 different performers get up and play. My brother Bob and I. You remember Bob? He was always a troublemaker, a very talented guitar player. And he's in several bands.
So where's this at?
Downtown Dubuque at the Blue Room and Breezer's Pub, down by the courthouse.
Okay.
And it goes like 6:30 to 10:30 at night. And it's been going on for 2 years, nonstop. I always think, well, nobody will show up and they'll say, let's not do this anymore. But they just, I don't know where all the musicians come from, but it's a good opportunity for musicians who don't get to play out a lot or an established band, or they make groups. We probably have 5 bands, rock bands or blues bands or something come out of that. So I still stay involved in that, and I've tried to stay involved in the theater thing by painting sets and stuff. But
Have you been to the Heritage Center at the...
That's where we would put on the plays, yeah.
What a facility.
What a facility.
In fact, the guy was recently, I thought this was such a kind of a bizarre situation, Garrison Keillor.
Garrison Keillor, sure.
And he's charged with, or not charged, but accused of sexual harassment.
Is he really? Another one.
Yeah, he's on Minnesota Public Radio and has been for 30, 40 years.
I used to listen to him all the time.
And so what they're doing is they have archived all of his shows. Minnesota Public Radio is expunging or removing all of those from public availability. I'm thinking, really? I mean, I just can't believe that reaction. It's a little extreme, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy, and all these people coming out of the woodwork that are being accused of sexual harassment. And I'm a woman, so I've had my share of being bullied or harassed all through the years, especially in masonry, as the only woman. I always just let it go in one ear and out the other. It's not right. If I gave it fire, it was like adding gas to a fire if I... You know, led into that, so I just didn't pay any attention to it, stood my ground, and I think maybe a lot of women needed to be more like that, as to speak out sooner, say, I'm not putting up with this, or something, but then they'd lose their opportunity. They just had on television, this is way off your thing, but they had this women in the... like in the services that we're going to, like West Point or something, were harassed by men all through that. They got to graduate. These women just couldn't take it anymore and left. And those kinds of opportunities where women are leave the whole area or the business or whatever because they can't stand being harassed. That isn't right either. But for people to, like 40 years ago, somebody got harassed by somebody, I'm kind of skeptical about how much that should weigh in as far as...
Yeah, it was even like 30 years ago or 40 years ago. Seems like an awful long...
When I was in high school, there was a student who used to pat me on the butt as he go down. Every girl. And he just... That was just the way he was, but it's not acceptable. It bothered me, but...
Well, and that's, you know, that part of it is true. And then also just the fact that kids got picked on and bullied, and that as an administrator, I remember that's so difficult to deal with because you can't witness what happened, and it's hard to prevent it from happening in the future. You could tell them don't do it, but you know, so that goes in one ear and out the other. So it's just a tough situation.
But I don't know if you were here, but I had a son Mason who was in football, and he played for Wartburg for the last few years. But there was a situation there where a kid that was a real small young student, was in track, and he kind of looked up to Mason and the football players, but there he was being bullied all the time, and he came to Mason about it. So Mason kind of stood up for the kid at a study hall and said, knock it off, what you're doing with this kid here. Well, the guy kept on bullying this kid, and he told Mason to stay out of it. And there was an altercation in the hallway at West Dubuque right before he graduated. And it was when the bell rang, I remember, let's see, who was the science teacher here? And I think he just retired. His wife, Sue. Chemistry.
Oh, Jerry Ross.
Jerry Ross was standing in the doorway, and the bully came up to Mason and told him to mind his own business and shoved Mason. Well, Mason shoved him back, pushed him so hard he knocked the brand new water thing off. They drug Mason in the hallway, and Mason was, you know, everybody looked up to him. He was this upstanding student that never seemed to do anything wrong. So they took the one kid in there and the other kid, and the principal and the vice principal were shaking their heads going, they called me in, and they had Mason in one room, and they were like kind of glad Mason kind of put this kid in his place. I think they handled that really well here at the office, except for the water fountain. They were like, you know what, we just put that in. Knocked that off of there. But
well, that's, you know,
later that bully kid, the next year, came and apologized to Mason.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, so.
I remember, I don't know if you remember Steve Hosh. He taught at St. Joe's over here. And
oh, yeah.
Anyway, they live in Epworth. And they had a couple boys, and I think it was Matt, and there was a bad deal feelings between Matt and this kid by the name of Sean Ramler, and eventually one day it came to a head, and Sean did something, and Matt went after him in the hallway. And I remember going up to the situation, seeing who was involved, and I just stepped away for a while and let Matt take care of things, you know, just like exactly happened with Mason. So sometimes they have a way of rectifying themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we can't do everything for our kids. We have to let them.
Yeah.
It helps them become better adults, I think, to let them handle a situation. My last one, all my other kids say I spoil him and he'll never grow up, but he's a fine student. So,
Mason is
still in? He'll graduate in May because he joined the National Guard to help pay for college. So,
okay.
He'll graduate in May from Wartburg. Rose got a couple more years at UNI, and I have a son here, Jason. He's a junior, doing real good in athletics and academics, although last night you wouldn't have thought so with Algebra 2, advanced. He goes, I shouldn't be in this class. I don't know how they pick whatever, and I am no help to him, as I told you before. Yeah. I was not good at math. My sister Linda always tutored him, but she's studying to be a lawyer. She went to Valparaiso to work on that at her age. So that's what's good about the world today. You can have several careers. You don't have to. I remember when my daughter Katie graduated. She went to the University of Iowa. And she asked me, why didn't Western Dubuque ever tell us there's all these other careers? She said it seemed they geared us, when she was going to high school here, for technical things, and then you just go right into the workplace, or you go to NICC for 2 years and something. Or there's, so she ended up going completely into teaching Spanish. She got to travel and all that stuff in college, but she always thought that she was slighted by the fact that they seem to only have certain things that you graduate, you go here, and you become this or that and the other thing, you know, doctor, lawyer, or teacher.
Yeah.
So she said, all of a sudden I found out there's 100 different things I could have majored in. She kept switching her major till she found something. It was like a big adventure for her. And we do need more experiences like that here.
That's a very good point. Open up those eyes a little bit to what's possible.
Of course, funding is a big thing for a lot of these programs. My sister Molly, who's at the wrestling meet, her son was wrestling on varsity too. Scott County or whatever, Eldridge.
North Scott.
Yeah. She said, she asked me about the laptop, Jason. As I said, he doesn't have a school laptop. Their school provides every student with a laptop. You get it when you're a freshman. You use it all through high school, and you send it back in, and they do whatever they do to them. But I don't think they have anything like that here.
I'm not aware that they do.
That she said it's made the big difference in the district. It doesn't separate poor kids who can't afford this or that from anybody else. So that I would love to see that going on school.
That'd be great, yeah.
And she says, West Dubuque doesn't do that. She said a lot of schools do that now.
I'm sure they do, yeah. Yep, I'm sure.
But being, I came from a poor family. And my kids, in my situation, we also didn't have a lot of money. So you always hide the fact that you're poor. You know, you have to wear the same kind of pants everybody else wears. And I don't buy into that, but I played along with it anyway. They wanted to make it seem like they had money. Jackie never had a car, but she was my shy kid, so she would, you know, I'd say, well, can't you get a ride to this, or I'll come and pick you up. It was always me picking her up, which was embarrassing. Now, my daughter Margot, she was a little more outgoing. She thought nothing of asking for a ride for herself and for her sister. It depends on your personality, but
sure.
If you don't have that kind of personality, you kind of lose out somewhere along the line.
Yeah, you know, Kelly has two daughters, and we have one at, Caitlin is at UNI, she's a junior, and Aubrey is just graduated from Lindmar, and so she's kind of like the shy one, and not knowing what to do. Well, she's going to NICC, and she's staying with us, I get a pretty good snapshot of what kids are all about from mm-hmm. that standpoint now, because she's staying with us, and I see what kind of clothes she wears, and she likes the jeans with the holes and the stuff. And
yeah.
So.
Years ago, it used to be the poor kid couldn't afford a nice pair of jeans, and now it's like the more holes, the better. But my brother Randy, he had a pair of jeans. That was the year too that let you wear jeans. Those years,
okay.
When I was in high school, girls couldn't wear pants for a while. Pretty soon, they could wear pants, and then they had a strict dress code: no jeans. Then all these hippies back then and everything. Everybody started wearing jeans in a protest. So they go, okay, we can't just put up with this. We'll let everybody wear jeans, but they can't be ripped up jeans. They have to be decent looking. Man, that was back in the days of big bell bottoms and at the end of the, at the tail end of the hippies. But I remember my brother Randy kept asking Mom, put another patch on. He had a pair of jeans that were all patches. And he thought, but that's the difference between a shy person and somebody who, you can be poor and still be cool, or you can be poor and let them beat you up, you know, mentally and physically or whatever. That's the thing about addressing bullies. They need to have, their self-esteem is usually low anyway, and people pick on somebody that's got low self-esteem.
Yeah. I mean, I remember... speaking of that period of time in the late 60s with the hippies and the rock concerts, and I was at St. Joe's as a teacher and coach, but I wasn't married, so all of a sudden there was this publicity about a big rock festival at Wadena.
Oh yeah, the Wadena Fest. You did?
Yes, I did. I still have visions of that. I mean, there were vans and
hippie vans with flowers, flower power on them.
But there were other vehicles and sort of small shacks, and they were selling any kind of drug you can imagine at that time was available.
The popular drugs.
If you wanted to buy it, it was there. They had this huge stage and.
I didn't have that opportunity. I heard a lot about it.
But. Yeah, so that was Wadena.
The Wadena Fest.
But, that was a really...
A whole different time period. I remember they had concerts. There were some guys from Iowa City or something that had graduated from West Dubuque. They put on a concert, and they were like hippies. And back in those days, too, the teachers all smoked. The smoking lounge, you opened the door, and smoke would billow out. But there was a bathroom, and I did not partake in this, but I had some friends that were a little bit in the older classes that were into marijuana and whatever. And the one bathroom, you didn't go in because that's where girls stood on the toilet and smoked, so the smoke would go. And there was some, I could smell different smells, and I was like, that isn't a cigarette.
Which bathroom was that? Was that
it's still there. It's the one straight down the hall at the very end. Not across from the office, down by the, that was the bathroom. And if you had to go, you had to go run down the hall to the one by the office.
Okay, yeah.
And then we used to have, phys ed, we had to wear those little blue step-in suits that snapped up.
Oh, God.
They were horrible. But I suppose that would evened out, everybody was wearing the same thing, and then you went and you took your shower and you threw that in the wash. I think kids today have a lot of advantages that we never had.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure.
And we all want our kids to do better than we did, so we try to give them every opportunity and everything we can.
Yeah, and you hope it's appreciated. I guess in most cases it is, but sometimes you think that, we put them through college, we put them through all this, and sometimes it would be nice if they would give us a little more appreciation of what we did for them. But
I don't know if they ever will.
Yeah, probably not. That's life goes on too fast to think about some of that stuff when you're that age. So
yeah.
Anyhow. Well, listen, thanks for
you're welcome.
Your memories.
I don't know. We got kind of way off the track of things. I didn't have anything prepared, so you know, you get what you get.
The track runs many different directions.
It certainly has.